Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. It's 8 o'clock. It is Friday morning, December 17th. Hello, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thank you for joining me this morning on KSJE. It is our COVID-19 community information program that we air every other week on Fridays here on KSJE. It's a public service to our community. Megan Cullop, who is usually with me on these programs, is off today, so we wish her well, and glad that you have decided to join us, though, for this local information program. Coming up today, we are going to be hearing from several guests on the program. Dr. Brian Greenberg is joining us from Salmon Regional Medical Center, also Dr. Bob Underwood from the hospital, and then later in the program, Matt Bieber will be joining us too. He is, of course, a spokesperson with the New Mexico Department of Health. But to start things off, our two local guests are already on the phone waiting to speak with us, and so let's bring them onto the program right now from Salmon Regional Medical Center. Dr. Bob Underwood, good morning, and good to have you on the program.
Good morning, Scott. Good to be here. Thanks.
You bet. Thank you. And Dr. Brad Greenberg is back with us. It's always a pleasure to have on the program as well. Dr. Greenberg, good morning to you.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks so much for having us.
You bet. Thank you both for your time. I know it's a busy time for everyone at the hospital, it seems. And so, Dr. Underwood, can we start with you about the current conditions at the hospital today? How are things looking?
Sure. And again, good morning. We're still very busy, of course, at the hospital. We are still in, as a lot of people already know, in what we call crisis standards of care, where the number of patients that we have exceed our licensed capacity and even our contingency capacity in a lot of ways. And so currently, including our rehab facility, we have 177 patients in-house. 58 of those patients are COVID positive. Our intensive care unit is completely full. Our step-down unit, which we've converted into an intensive care unit, is also completely full. And we have 8 patients that are intensive care level, but they are on a regular floor right now in beds that we've modified to be intensive care. So we are still at 126% of our contingency ICU capacity. So we're above where we ought to be. However, I want to say that these numbers have been trending in the right direction for the last week or more. And so we hope and we're confident that we are starting to see a downside in the number of COVID patients and the criticality of some of those COVID patients in our facility.
Well, that sounds encouraging, and thank you for sharing that. Dr. Greenberg, again, you are on really literally the front lines at the hospital. And so as Dr. Underwood is saying, do you see any less of a demand on your time or your colleagues in the ICU and other places?
Well, Scott, I think that I'd like to echo what Dr. Underwood said, is that we are seeing some softening of our COVID volumes. That being said, we had a lot of COVID patients in the hospital, and there are lots of folks, many different professional disciplines, working so hard to take care of our community. And so even though we've had some softening in those numbers, the numbers are still very high. And so I think that we continue to work very hard, especially as we approach, the holiday and New Year. And I think that we continue to enjoy the support, ongoing support of the folks that are deployed from the United States Navy. And really, this external support is helping us meet the demands of the peak that we hope is behind us and the ongoing challenges. So I think it really is, right now, this is a question of endurance, discipline, and I feel very fortunate to work with such a wonderful group of professionals with such fortitude.
Indeed, thank you. And we know that the hospital is getting a lot of other support from outside because of staffing issues and just because of the patient numbers and just the volume of folks who are showing up at the hospital suffering from the effects of COVID-19. Dr. Greenberg, can you talk to me a little bit about some of the other, I know the some of the treatment options, the monoclonal antibody treatment option has been now expanded to 7 days a week. Can we talk about that for a bit?
Absolutely. You know, we do our best to make sure that we continue to provide all of the treatment options that may be available and that science has borne out really do represent an improvement in what happens for patients. Monoclonal antibody infusion therapy absolutely is one of those options that's been shown to reduce hospitalization by up to about 70%. So we now have upwards of about 140 slots per week that are available, and so if folks are indeed diagnosed with COVID-19, and there's plenty of COVID in our community still, then I absolutely recommend consulting with their primary care physicians to see whether or not monoclonal antibody infusion therapy would be right for them, and then the likely we would likely be able to find a slot for these folks, and then hopefully they would be able to stay out of the hospital. So we have not yet begun to, there are a couple of different oral antiviral medications that are just on the horizon. Merck and Pfizer both have products. And so we are looking forward to when they are released after their review by the FDA. And hopefully those also will reduce the likelihood of hospitalization. So those are on the horizon, but not yet with us.
Understood, and thank you. And but that monoclonal antibody treatment certainly has had a lot of data now behind it and proven to be pretty effective at the early onset of COVID-19. I guess that's the key, right? That you have to start that treatment fairly early on in the infection for it to be effective and keep folks out of the hospital?
Absolutely. I think that we all believe that the sooner the better, but it absolutely must be done within 10 days of diagnosis.
Thank you. Very good. Dr. Underwood, I want to come back to you and ask you a bit about those folks who are at San Juan Regional Medical Center who have needed to be hospitalized because of their COVID-19 infections. And I think we've said before that the vast, vast majority of these folks are unvaccinated individuals. Is that still the case at the hospital these days?
Absolutely. That is correct. Even to date, the most effective way to avoid requiring hospitalization or becoming ill is the vaccination, one of the three that are currently available within the United States. So that has been, since the vaccination has become available, which is almost a year now, that has been one of our strongest recommendations is if you're eligible, become vaccinated. If you're eligible for the booster, get the booster vaccination as well, because it is clearly shown to be significantly protective from getting the disease, becoming symptomatic, being hospitalized, and death. It is the best option out there to avoid all of those things.
Got it. Thank you very much. And Dr. Greenberg, I want to ask you about these patients that are hospitalized. And we see stories even in the national press about that these folks who are very, very sick and all of a sudden they, I guess, literally see the light and decide that maybe they need to get the vaccine. But at some point, it's too late. Is that something that you've had to have a conversation about at San Juan Regional with any of your patients?
Well, you know, Scott, this is actually a very common conversation among the unvaccinated who end up hospitalized. I think most of them who are hospitalized and the ones that I've seen personally do indeed ask, you know, can I get the vaccine now? And you're correct. It's too late at that time. Vaccines require time to both stimulate and then to really build an immune response that has to be there when the virus poses a challenge to that immune system later. So you can't you can't have the infection and get the vaccine. You need the vaccine first to protect yourself from the infection. So I think that those folks that have indeed recovered from COVID-19, those folks still need to get the vaccine. There's been some great studies that have shown that the immunity conferred by being sick with the illness is not the same. It's not as long-standing or as broad as the immunity conferred by vaccination. So yes, we do indeed see that. It's very sad and sometimes tragic that folks have a change of heart when it's too late. But for those folks that have had COVID and have it and have also recovered, get the vaccine now. And if you've had the vaccine, go ahead and get boosted.
Great point, because I think we see that a lot. And I want to ask you, too, Dr. Greenberg, about these variants that we're hearing about. Of course, we know Delta is surging in our state. That's really what most of the cases are these days, it's my understanding. But we now have had a case of the Omicron variant in New Mexico. I don't know if we've seen it yet here locally. Maybe you folks can tell me if that's the case or not. But that's a concern as well. And is it possible that if someone had maybe the original COVID and then they become infected with a variant, that again their immunity is not really going to offer much protection, if any, from these as this virus mutates and changes over time, Dr. Greenberg?
Well, you know, variants are definitely, right now, especially Omicron, are at the front of everyone's mind. But that point, Scott is exactly right. It looks like the studies show that previous infection with other variants of COVID-19 are not protective against Omicron. They're not protective against the infection and perhaps the transmission of the virus. Now, it is still unclear what the relationship between previous infection and severe COVID is, like hospitalization or death. But the news right now is full of information about Omicron, and we continue to learn the science behind it day by day, really hour by hour. But the cases for Omicron right now are just skyrocketing. They have the case records in Europe are highest than they've ever been in the UK, France, and Denmark. We're starting to see increases within the United States with 13 to 14% of the cases in New York and New Jersey being Omicron. And really, it looks like within the United States, we are expecting really rapidly increasing growth in Omicron with those likely to peak sometime in January, maybe the first half of January. So there's still some science that's evolving right now about why this infection is so apparently more transmissible than previous versions, previous variants of COVID-19, even Delta, which we thought was more transmissible than the previous one. So we're very much hoping that vaccination, as well as cellular immunity or T-cell immunity, helps keep folks out of the hospital. And that is a really important piece. I think that two subpopulations that do look like they should absolutely consider doing something at this point, really those that are the older adults that have perhaps received two vaccines, say two Moderna or two Pfizer vaccines. At this point, given the projections with what's happening with Omicron, we really would like to encourage those folks to go get boosted. It is absolutely important for those folks with the waning immunity conferred by those two vaccines to go get another vaccine to improve their immunity. The other subpopulation that really looks like folks in the experience in South Africa is somewhat concerning has been those that are 0 to 4. And so it's not entirely clear, and the science still continues to evolve with Omicron as it relates to why there are more hospitalizations in that subgroup than previous variants of COVID-19. But I think really COVID-safe practices need to carry the day for that subgroup. Families need to really exercise good judgment and make very good decisions about social distancing, hand hygiene, masking, and making good decisions as we're approaching the holiday season. So I think that we are looking at a time where case counts are likely to get very high, and we're all hoping very much that all of the work that we've done so far can help preserve and minimize the impact to the healthcare infrastructure so hospitals won't be flooded by these folks. So now's the time to get vaccinated. If you've been vaccinated, get boosted. And now's the time, even as we're approaching the holiday season, to try to make the best decisions about how COVID-safe practices can ensure that not only will you stay safe for the holidays, but the holidays can be joyous for your friends and family.
A great message, Dr. Greenberg. Thank you very much. Dr. Underwood, I wanted to ask you a bit about the situation statewide. You mentioned, of course, San Juan Regional is still under the crisis standards of care here. How is the situation at other hospitals? Is that eased up at all? Are you able to transfer out any patients when things do get pretty crowded there? Or what are you dealing with each day?
So transfers are still difficult, but are lightening up the capability of being able to transfer somewhat. Mm-hmm. I would say that the trend that we're seeing in a positive direction is not completely reflected across the rest of the state right now. So we have noticed regionality of these things in the past, that what's happening in one part of the state may not be what's happening throughout the state. In fact, we're seeing across the Navajo Nation, extending westward into Arizona, that there is an increase across that portion of the Navajo Nation. And so what impact, again, that's going to have on our healthcare facility? Of course, we're part of that referral pattern even out of Arizona. What impact that's going to have on us and the availability of clinical assets is still kind of a question. But we're paying very close attention to what those trends are looking like. So again, what we're seeing is a little bit more favorable than what the rest of the state is seeing in terms of that lightening.
Good to hear. Well, and maybe give you folks a little bit of breathing room as things move forward here. And thank you, Dr. Greenberg. I think maybe my final question this morning, I know you both have limited time with us today, but I wanted to ask you, and I didn't catch, have we seen an Omicron variant case here in San Juan County, to your knowledge? And then I guess the second question is about the flu season. How is that looking these days? And are we seeing some flu cases at the hospital these days?
Great question, Scott. So the first answer so far is not that we're aware of. So
no Omicron.
The single case of Omicron was in Bernalillo County, and we continue to get positive COVID-19 specimens sent to the state laboratory division for genomic analysis, and we have yet to receive any notification that we have had any positive cases of Omicron. We still have, we're Delta,
yeah.
Delta top to bottom.
Got
it. As far as influenza, we are absolutely seeing both influenza and respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, at the hospital. We have folks that are testing positive, and we've had, I think, a single hospital admission for influenza A, and a steady, but I would say a modest stream of RSV admissions. Now, we do expect those things for this time of year. So I think that last year was somewhat of an aberrancy in that we didn't see those kinds of viruses circulating in the community. So it does represent a sort of simultaneous challenge to the hospital to cope with these other folks. And the message, I think, really super important, it is not too late to get your flu vaccine. And I know that there's some press out there about, you know, does the flu vaccine that was released this year match up with the circulating strain? And, you know, there's always a certain degree of, you know, if you get these flu vaccines, you will get protected. And the key is really not, it's not that you won't perhaps get the infection, but you'll stay out of the hospital. Like we need folks to build this immunity. So get your flu shot, stay healthy, and do those COVID safe practices, which are also to keep you safe from things like RSV and influenza.
Very good. Good advice from both of you this morning, gentlemen. I always appreciate your time. Thank you for sharing some of it with our listeners and viewers this morning. And I hope you both have a very safe and happy holiday with your families coming up. Thank you both very much.
Thanks, Scott. Really appreciate it. And we appreciate the work of all of our caregivers here. They're working really hard.
Definitely. Thank you both. Take care.
Thanks.
You are welcome. That is Dr. Bob Underwood, Dr. Brad Greenberg from San Juan Regional Medical Center, my guest this morning here on KSJE. And I want to go to our next guest, who is just called in this morning from the New Mexico Department of Health, and that's Matt Bieber, one of the Department of Health spokesmen, to talk a little bit about what's going on kind of statewide, the rollout certainly for the vaccines and the boosters all across New Mexico. And Matt Bieber is on the phone with us this morning. Matt, good morning. Thank you for calling in this morning.
Absolutely. Scott, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for being with me. Give us an update on, I guess, just how the rollout of the vaccines and then now the boosters are going around the state. What are you hearing from at least this corner of the state?
Well, we're really pleased with statewide progress. We've got nearly 90% of New Mexican adults with at least one shot, more than 75% who completed their primary series. We've got half of kids 12 to 17 with their primary series completed. We've even got 10% of the 5 to 11s with their primary series completed. Boosters are going really well also. Nice progress, steady progress in that area. And I think that makes sense. You know, folks are recognizing that we're not through this pandemic, that Omicron is on the way. In fact, it's here already. And there's a lot of uncertainty. And these boosters and vaccines remain the single most effective thing you can do to protect yourself and your family. And I think folks are just taking that to heart.
Good to know. But of course, we know especially in our area, we have pockets of folks in some communities who are somewhat vaccine resistant. I know the state has spent a lot of time, effort, and resources to try to get the message out about just how effective these are. And we just talked to folks from our local hospital about how many patients are showing up there. They are still at crisis standards of care. And so it really is putting these patients are putting a strain on the healthcare system, not just here in Northwest New Mexico, but across the state. Isn't that still happening?
That's absolutely true. Yeah. Here's one key fact that folks may not know about the vaccines. Vaccine breakthrough cases do occur. The key difference, and the reason vaccines were created in the first place is to protect you against getting really sick. So the chances of getting a breakthrough case, that can happen. It's not a great chance, but it can happen. The chance, however, of getting sick or dying if you've been vaccinated is incredibly low. And that's exactly what we're seeing with the statistics and with our hospitals across the state. Nearly all of the folks who get really sick, who go to the hospital, and who die are among the unvaccinated. And those numbers have held steady for months and months and months. It's just how it works. I don't ever like to cast blame or try to shame anybody to make a different choice than they're making. I think if at this point, you know, you haven't gotten vaccinated, well, then that probably means either you've got some questions that you still like to ask, and we're happy to do our best to try to answer them, or it might be a moment for a conversation with somebody else, perhaps a trusted healthcare provider, somebody that you really have a lot of faith in that's guided your own healthcare decisions for some time. Almost all of our healthcare providers, 99%+ of doctors, have been vaccinated, and they're a really good source of neutral and objective information about the safety and efficacy of these vaccines.
Good information. That's true. And that's what we've said here on this program since we started it, was if you have questions about the vaccines, the virus, the variants, to certainly talk to your local healthcare provider who is familiar with your health, and maybe there are some health conditions that would prevent you from getting the vaccine for whatever reason. And so I think that's a great reminder of what we are facing. But for folks who maybe have done that and still have not decided to get the vaccine, that really puts them at risk, as you have mentioned, because as we've heard from our local doctors, you know, the vast, vast majority of folks who are hospitalized are the unvaccinated, and they are the majority of folks who unfortunately are getting really sick and sometimes passing away from COVID-19. And so that's the issue. You mentioned some of the rollout numbers for the younger folks. Vaccines are now available for folks 5 and up, correct, throughout the state, and they can be scheduled through the state's website. That's still how it works, right?
You got it. Yep. 5 and up is everybody's eligible. VaccineNM.org to schedule your child. VaccineNM.org/kids for some extra instructions on how to do so. It's really simple. It's like signing up for a Netflix account and then setting up the parental controls for your kid. It's, you know, you manage it as the parent or the guardian, and you arrange for them and see the results and so forth. Really straightforward system. But of course, you're not limited to using our system. There are other providers that are out there and scheduling on their own, and you're welcome to connect with them directly as well.
Very good. And let me ask you, Matt, just briefly about testing. We know testing is still taking place throughout the state. Some folks who may be traveling are needing a test in order to travel to certain places or things along that line. The testing locations seem to still be up and running and folks still going out and getting tested? Is that still a good piece of advice for folks, especially if you're going to be visiting with relatives, to maybe test and know if you are negative before you visit grandma or grandpa or whomever this holiday season?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a website, findatestnm.org. Again, findatestnm.org. And it's a searchable site with a map. You can see what's available near you. You can also use Vault at-home testing. Just do a Google search for Vault New Mexico at-home testing, and you'll find the website. You can order a free test to be sent to your home. All you do is hop on Zoom, show your license to prove that you are who you say you are, spit in a cup, send it into the lab, and you'll get your results over email in a couple of days. I've done it a couple times. It's really effective and really easy to do at home. I think it's going to continue to be really important to test, given the uncertainty, given the new variants coming, and especially for folks who have symptoms or who have come into contact with a positive case. Especially in those cases, it's really essential for folks to know their status, to get tested, and to take the appropriate action thereafter.
Right, right. And Matt, can you give us any insights into some of the conversations happening at the state level, even with the governor's office, about how to try to manage this Omicron variant moving forward? I think we've been through lockdowns, we've been through attendance or capacity restrictions and things along the line, but we haven't been hearing too much about that these days, because I think people are, hopefully we've moved beyond some of that now with the tools we have, like vaccines and some of the knowledge that we've learned from being in this situation for almost 2 years. Do you have any insights as to, where things are headed or what's being discussed even for a statewide level?
Yeah, thanks. It's a great question. So right now, just to remind folks, really the only statewide rule that's in place is the indoor mask mandate, and that applies to everybody in a public setting. And that's something that we've had in place for some time. California just re-implemented an indoor mask mandate, I think, yesterday. And so I can say that, broadly speaking, I'm not aware of anything else being considered at the moment. I don't see us going back to capacity limits in restaurants, in the near future. That said, I think the governor and the senior leadership always do reserve the right to adjust based on the changing circumstances. They are really concerned. We are really concerned to protect as many New Mexican lives as we can. And, we don't want to sort of rule anything out. If this thing looks really different a month from now or 2 months from now, I think all the options are still on the table. But no active conversations that I'm aware of about re-implementing some of the restrictions we had in place early this year.
Right. Understood. And of course, as we've learned over the last 2 years, never say never when it comes to COVID, because things do change, unfortunately, as we are moving forward through this. Well, Matt, I always appreciate your time and your information to share with our audiences. Is there anything else as we wrap up today? The reminder of vaccines and boosters, they're available, I think, for anyone over 5 years old who would like one for free. The tests are free. The state has made it, I think, pretty easy and very affordable to protect ourselves during this time. And again, if folks have a question, talk to their healthcare professional who can really provide that maybe that best information about their health background and what's right moving forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. If I may just add one more word, I think, we've talked about this, you and I, many times about how this whole issue has been politicized for, a couple of years now. And I think one of the things that makes it hard to do is harder to do is to have just compassion and understanding for one another as we all navigate this. I know I live and breathe this stuff every day. And yet there's still some times when I don't want to look at the news and I don't want to know, what changes I might need to make to my family's life in order to keep us all safe. And there's a part of me that wants to avoid it. And so I get that. I get that, I think a lot of us share that impulse. I guess my request would be that, I can speak for myself that avoiding what's out there, avoiding the news and avoiding the adjustments we need to make, it never serves me well, and it never feels particularly good to do. And so I think that goes to what we were talking about earlier. I don't like to blame anybody or criticize anybody for the choices they're making. But I would ask that, if you're feeling like maybe now's the time to consider getting a shot or a booster or get yourself tested and you're just not wanting to think about it, I can relate. But by the same token, I think just like, putting our seatbelts on in the car, just like, feeding our kids healthy food, I'd ask folks to consider doing the hard thing right now and asking what's really best for themselves and their families. Ask them to be honest with themselves about that as best they can. And I think that's about what we can expect of each other, and we can encourage each other in that respect rather than getting nasty on Twitter with one another. So I'd hope we can all keep lifting each other up and helping each other make the best choices we possibly can.
Well, I think that's a great piece of advice during this time of year, and all times of year, actually. Shouldn't just be at Christmas that we can treat each other with respect and empathy, for sure, but a great reminder. And I know you're right, there are a lot of folks, and I think the term is COVID fatigue. We've been dealing with this for a long time, but the virus isn't fatigued. It is mutating and changing and becoming more spreadable with the latest Omicron variant, and so And so I think you're right. We need to still be on guard, and we have learned a bit over the last almost 2 years of how to protect ourselves and our families, and so we should be using that knowledge and putting it to good use. But your advice is well taken, Matt Bieber, and I always appreciate you calling in. So thank you very much.
Great to talk to you, Scott. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. You too. That is Matt Bieber from the New Mexico Department of Health. My guest this morning here on KSJE, you're listening to our COVID-19 Community Information Program. I'm Scott Micklin. Megan Culp is off this week, but a few more pieces of information before we leave you for a little extended break over the holidays, but we will still be providing information on our website, ksje.com, and our social media pages, of course, on Facebook and Twitter. You can find a lot of news postings there, so we invite you to stay tuned and connect with us on those social media outlets as well. But let me show you a bit of the cases that we've been covering last 2 weeks, and here is the latest number from the New Mexico COVID-19 dashboard for San Juan County. This is the number of cases per day, the 7-day rolling average in San Juan County. And as you can see, and as we heard from our doctors earlier in the program, the numbers of cases do seem to be trending down after a peak that happened around early November. And so we are grateful for that and hope that that continues in the same direction. Although, as we've just been talking about, this newest variant is easily spread, and so I know folks are just holding their breath to hope that maybe our cases continue to be low, but this is where they're heading, at least at the moment. The other information to share from the dashboard is the cases per 100,000 through December 13th and the positivity rate. And just as a reminder, 2 weeks ago when we spoke, cases per 100,000 here in San Juan County were at 89. Today, they are down to 61.2. Again, positive news. The positivity rate 2 weeks ago in San Juan County was 18.19%, and today they are at 13.38%. So that mirrors what we're showing you of the cases. The positivity rate is also down, still high, still above where we would like it to be, of course. That still means there's community spread, that, you know, folks are just passing the virus on to others just by being out and about in the community, which is why we keep hearing about the advice to be vaccinated, to wear your masks, to social distance and wash your hands, and all these things that we've been learning about these last almost 2 years are still important tools in the fight against COVID-19. But again, all this information is available on the state's COVID-19 dashboard, but we share it with you as well on this program. So other things to mention this morning, rapid COVID-19 testing. We talked a little bit about the need maybe for testing if you're traveling or what have you. There is a new site that has opened here in Farmington. The curative folks are now over at the old Tibbetts Library, if you remember where Tibbetts School was on East Apache. So at 304 East Apache, they now have a testing site at the library building Monday through Friday from noon to 7 p.m., Saturdays and Sundays from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can now go there in Farmington for a COVID test. Other testing sites, again, continuing out at Aztec Fred Cook Stadium, again, Wednesdays and Fridays, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. McGee Park, the main site there that's been open, gosh, since we started talking about this, it seems, that is happening Monday through Fridays, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at McGee Park. Farmington Schools on 30th Street offering COVID-19 testing on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays at their district office at 3401 East 30th Street in Farmington. So just some more places where you can be tested for COVID-19 as we talk about being safe this holiday season. And that is our program today. I'm Scott Micklin, and I always appreciate you joining us and sharing this information. If you feel it's important, again, we do this because, again, we are a unique community in the northwest part of the state, and so not always some of the statewide media covers some of the things that we feel are important for our neighborhoods and our families and our colleagues and our friends. And so we're on the air every other Friday with COVID-19 information to share with you, and we hope you'll share it with your networks as well. But until we see each other again after the new year, stay safe and stay well. Enjoy the holidays, and thank you for supporting KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.